This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The most powerful blizzard so far this winter is hitting parts of Northern California and Nevada right now. Andrew Schwartz is lead scientist with UC Berkeley's Central Sierra Snow Lab.
We're looking at snowfall totals that could be upwards of 4 to 5 feet in a single day, and that's what makes this one so unique.
As much as 12 feet of snow is possible. CBS News correspondent Carter Evans is in Truckee, California.
This is the last spot truckers can chain up before making the drive up over Donner Summit, and it'll be slow going. Several ski resorts are closed under avalanche warnings. And authorities across the Sierra Nevada are also preparing for collapsed roofs, downed trees, and power lines.
Tens of thousands have already lost power. The largest wildfire in Texas state history has devastated hundreds in the panhandle with its destruction. Governor Greg Abbott.
There are about 400 to 500 structures that have been destroyed. There's no way to say for certainty that's going to be the final number, because there's still the ongoing assessment process.
Fire conditions, including warmer temperatures and strong winds, are intensifying this weekend in Texas. President Biden announced the U.S. will begin airdropping food to Palestinians in Gaza. CBS News correspondent Weijia Jiang reports.
President Biden announced the decision to carry out airdrops just days after more than 100 people were killed when Israeli troops opened fire on a crowd surrounding trucks delivering aid in Gaza City.
Aid flowing to Gaza is nowhere nearly enough now. It's nowhere nearly enough. Innocent lives are on the line and children's lives are on the line, and we won't stand by.
The White House says food aid will be a top priority amid warnings from the UN that Gaza is on the brink of famine.
Three astronauts and a cosmonaut are scheduled to blast off to space tonight, heading to the International Space Station.
Dr. Michael Barrett is making his third flight and says he's enjoyed mentoring three rookie crewmates.
I love watching people experience spaceflight for the first time.
This is Barrett's second long-duration station mission, and he says he's excited about performing a slew of medical experiments.
Big integrated package of studies that look at the human in space. And I'm very much looking forward to that, because some of these experiments I was either helping on or helping to integrate together. So now I get to experience it from the other end.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Two astronauts aboard the space station are scheduled to return home next week. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. President Biden's support for Israel's war in Gaza is costing him votes from Muslim, Arab American, and pro-Palestinian communities, if the results of the recent Michigan primary are any indication. More from Farah Siddiqui.
More than 100,000 people voted uncommitted in Michigan's presidential primary. An exit poll of over 500 Muslim voters was conducted by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. CARE's Government Affairs Director Robert McCaw says 94% of American Muslims who voted in the Democratic primary voted uncommitted.
It's a clear sign that our communities are organized. We're a political force in these states and other swing states, and we can tip the results in any election when it counts.
The exit poll found that potential third-party candidates are polling better than Biden, and if an election was held today, 40% of Muslim voters would prefer an unnamed other candidate. The poll also found 13% might vote for GOP frontrunner Donald Trump. The Biden administration has faced significant protests in Michigan. According to McCaw, the initiation of the Vote Uncommitted campaign was in protest of the president's reluctance to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. He says these voters weren't bluffing.
It's noteworthy that potential third-party candidates such as Dr. Cornel West are polling better than Biden with Muslim voters, while others like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Jill Stein are polling evenly with the president.
In response to the protest vote, Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud wrote on social media, "Today, thousands said enough. As American citizens and Michigan voters, we have made our voices heard at the ballot box. Now it is up to President Biden to listen to Michigan and do the right thing." I'm Farah Siddiqui. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
For you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and 58. Mostly clear, lows around 40 tonight. 67 and windy for your Sunday under mostly sunny skies. Chance of a shower Sunday night, a low near 47. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms Monday with highs in the low 60s.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha, hour number two. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I was born to do the Funky Kaylee, a proud Irish-American on day two of Irish-American History Month. We're joining you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios here in downtown, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage. Here in the Shaw, it's currently 32 degrees out. By 12:02, it'll be 52 degrees and will continue to be sunny. So, again, we've been blessed with some early spring weather here in the Shaw this winter. It's really, except for one rough couple days in January, it's really been a beautiful winter. So, and my guest is John Shane Connect, one of our foremost, if not the foremost, historian here in Waukesha, a art school at an art teacher at Butler Middle School, who in the early stages of his interview process learned about the Springs era and learned that there was not a lot of available history. And John had really championed the Springs era as well as other aspects of Waukesha history. We talked about some of the books he published, including three versions of the Great Waukesha Springs era, the most recent one in 2023. And from Prairieville to Waukesha, which was gifted to me and the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown by Mayor Sean Riley, which was a collection of articles you had written as a historian columnist for the Waukesha Freeman.
Correct. Yeah. First 2 years of
college. So, yeah. And so great, just great stuff, a wealth. And as we were winding up the first hour, we were talking about, because it's also Irish American History Month. And when John F. Kennedy was running for president, he came to Waukesha. He spoke at the what's it called again?
Waukesha Motor Works. He was outside shaking hands.
Love it.
He's sure. Just introducing himself and right. Telling people that they hoped they would vote for him.
And then you'd learn a story about the Freeman, too, involved, like when he was in Milwaukee.
Well, he spoke in 1962. He spoke at the annual.
While he was president. Okay.
Yeah, while he was president, Jefferson Jackson dinner. So he was the guest there. And the Freeman sent a photographer down there. And I think there's four thick envelopes of negatives. They just took hundreds of pictures of him. So I was able, as volunteer there, I was able to scan those negatives.
Wow.
I one of my lifelong ambitions was always to visit the JFK Museum in Boston.
So. I did in high school. It's wonderful. Yeah. It's definitely worth the trip.
So I did go there and I asked them, I said, told them what I had, and I thought maybe they would like copies and I had brought them along, but they said, well, if you'll give us the negatives, we'd be interested in those, but not the, not prints of the photographs.
Interesting.
There are all these pictures of him that were never been published and never been seen. So there's.
Do you still have those in your possession, John?
The negatives are at the museum.
Okay, the Waukesha County Historic Museum.
Yeah, Waukesha County. Yeah,
neat.
We have them there.
Okay, so. So it's kind of like that is like in the archives, if you will. Like, so someone would have to sign up and to do if they're doing research there.
We have a research center, and you would make an appointment. We're open Wednesdays and Friday mornings and Friday afternoons, and we have people there to help you with your research.
That could be a fun field trip for me.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're welcome to come over there. You'd be amazed.
Sure.
At what's there? It's really amazing.
Sure. Yeah, and I know we touched upon it a little bit in the first hour, but what are some of the opportunities people can take advantage of when they visit the Historical Society? I know there's the main exhibits.
Right. Well, we do have, we have exhibits. The Les Paul exhibit, of course, is our most popular.
Sure.
We're finishing a display about agriculture, early agriculture in Waukesha County, since that was very important.
Oh, sure.
So we held a fundraiser last year with a group of dairy of current farmers and other interested people, and we raised enough money to open this exhibit that's going to be around for a few years.
Okay.
So there'll be hands-on things for kids, and it'll tell the history of agriculture, farming, and dairy producing in Waukesha County.
Okay.
We have a Springs exhibit, and a Pioneer kind of early Prairieville exhibit. So there's that, and then we also have opportunities for people to research their family history, any aspect of Waukesha County history.
Right, right.
We have quite a big, we have a lot of artifacts. In terms of photographs, I think it's close to more than 500,000 of negatives, photographs of Waukesha.
Okay.
And then a lot of artifacts from my bottle collection to A to Z, anything that's related to Waukesha County history.
So for the pedestrian individual that's curious about Waukesha history, or maybe a group, be it a school or a corporate group, there's opportunities to visit there and really experience.
Definitely. Yeah, we have quite
a walking history.
We have an education chairperson or a part-time employee. And so we have a lot of school groups coming in. They can learn. We have docents then that take them through.
And then for the most serious historian, be them amateur or a professional, there's also this great research
center. The research center. Correct.
Wow.
We get requests all the time. I just got three this morning. So they want to know if we have pictures of Pleasant Hill School when their father went there in 1940.
But
so things like that.
Okay.
So we're always answering questions, and then when we're not doing research, we're handling the collections, cataloging everything.
Sure. Yeah, I remember one. It was actually on my last birthday. I went over to the Waukesha Library to get a book. And there was a gentleman waiting in line in front of me, and he wanted to know about on Sunset. There was near the it's not far from Michael's. There was a like the old Kodak like photo labs.
Oh, okay, the little photo booth things.
Yeah, but probably about the size of our little studio here, this one room, probably about that size. And he was trying to chronicle something about it.
Wow!
But it really spurred this really interesting conversation. I said, well, you have to go over to the Waukesha County Historical Museum. But at least it's, so I said there may be someone you could talk to, or it's like that'd be a good place to start.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that ever showed up there. So maybe he was able to get his answer. But
yeah,
we have a lot of photos, aerial photos. So we're able to sometimes find things that way. We have a lot of the city assessment records for properties from 1920s to the 1950s.
Sure. Okay.
Lots of different ways. We also publish a quarterly magazine that I edit, been editing for about 25 years. So,
is that available? Like, can you get like in an e-newsletter format?
Actually, no. It's one of the few magazines. It's a real true magazine. So there's copies at the public library. They subscribe. And if you're, it's a privilege of membership that we publish quarterly. And so as part of your membership.
Sure. How much does it cost to be a member of the Historical Society?
For an individual, it's $30 a year, which is a good
deal.
It
is, yeah. I'll have to sign up.
Then you don't have to pay to use our research center.
Yeah.
That's free.
That's good to know.
And there's free admission to the museum.
Okay.
And the subscription to Landmark magazine. So it's a good deal.
Count me in. Seriously. So I'll have to head over there when you're open again.
Sure.
So sounds terrific. What speaking of living history, this Tuesday at the city council meeting, there will be a mayoral proclamation for the Fusion volleyball team. That's this Tuesday, March 5th, when city council starts at 6 p.m. And just for recap, that volleyball team really captured the hearts of our community in not only winning a share of the Classic 8 Conference, but beating their co-champions, Catholic Memorial, in the sectional championship that was played at Waukesha West to advance to state competition. And just an amazing year. So Joe Bansky and many, if not all, of his players from the team will be on hand to accept that honor from Mayor Riley. And I encourage other parents and supporters of the Fusion Volleyball Program. This is a combined program of North and South High School. They were branded Fusion by Coach Joe Bansky. And were given the Carroll colors of blue and orange to show unity.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah. So include that on your docket for this Tuesday, 6 p.m. at City Hall.
So, great, yeah. Volleyball is just so exciting to watch. It can be really fun.
It sure is, yeah. Oh, yeah, I really, I got this, you know, I regret saying I only got to see one match, and I think I was telling you about when they beat West last, the season before in a 5-set. And at the time, West was ranked 9th in the state. And
wow.
So, yeah.
And on any given day, anything can happen in a volleyball match.
Oh, it that's sure can, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, yeah. For sure. So, but returning here with John Shane Connect, our historian extraordinaire. What I know you said you're not a huge fan of sports, but there is certainly a sports history that you've probably touched upon in your work. You mentioned Carroll University, the home of the first pass,
right?
All of college football, or any football.
Oh, the friend, more sports things. The friend that I mentioned, Bill Schley, and I worked on. His father made a movie for the Downtown Business Association in the 1950s about the 1950, I've got to get this right, 57 high school basketball team. It's called Rebound.
They
went to state.
Okay.
They lost in the first round.
This was the Waukesha High School team, the Cardinal. Or no, they're the Black Shirts.
Black Shirts.
Yep.
That's right.
So, okay.
And then they lost in the first, they lost their first game, but they came back on the rebound to win the consolation championship.
Oh, cool.
So, and there were, the movie is really quite interesting.
Is that at the Historical Society or can you find that online now?
You can buy a copy at the Historical Society.
Okay,
we made a DVD with a book that accompanies.
Oh, wow.
Goes with it. And a few of the members are still around. Bob Lombardi just passed away, I believe, right? His wife, Carol.
Was the mayor.
Mayor, okay. Right. He was on the team.
Neat.
Jim Coots, who was the mayor of Cedarburg for a while.
Oh,
he
wow.
was on the team.
Sure.
And there, I think there's one or two that are still around.
Okay.
But it's really fascinating just
sure.
to see what, because they go a bit into the history of Waukesha. It was a
right.
about Waukesha. So
okay.
That was quite an interesting sports story. And there have been a lot of successful teams.
Well, and that's, I've heard conflicting stories about how the Black Shirts got their nickname. Do you know anything about that? Or
I have to remember, I wrote a column about it.
Okay.
And I'm just, there were a couple different stories. I think when they formed the, what was the Suburban Conference.
Okay.
Waukesha was part of that. And
how many years ago was that?
Now you got in the 50s, I believe. Okay. Maybe, no, it was before that.
Okay.
Lee Salbert, I think, was the Waukesha coach. And Wauwatosa had black and red as their colors.
Yeah, I knew that all these teams had the same colors.
Right, and so they
red.
Said,
yeah.
Well, we'll be the black shirts, I think.
Okay,
that.
Sure.
There's another story about laundry or something, and I just can't remember.
Right. They got new sweaters. And but we're going to continue the discussion on the origins of the black shirt name and so much more Waukesha history here on This Week in Waukesha. China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Consumers everywhere are loving the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. With state-of-the-art facilities throughout the Midwest, the Village Hearth buns you already love are baked and delivered fresh daily to your local grocer. So whether you like unsliced old-fashioned hamburger and hot dog buns, or prefer classic white or wheat, just look for the familiar red Village Hearth logo on the package, and you've made the right choice. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm your host, Don Brown. Johnny Watermelon's on the board. Poor old Johnny Watermelon. In honor of Irish-American History Month. And then one of my favorites. And on the jukebox, Johnny sang about a thing called love. But enough about Johnny. Our special guest is John Shane Connect. Our expert historian in residence.
Hopefully.
For sure, I think. And we were talking about the origins of the black shirt nickname.
Correct. Yeah, and I wrote a story about it, one of my last columns, and I have to apologize.
I'm going to reconnect with you so I can talk about it on next week's show.
Okay, I can send you the...
Because one of the stories I had heard was that a lot of the teams were around the area were called the Cardinals, and we were the Cardinals.
Yes,
and
definitely.
But then Waukesha also had this reputation as being kind of the tougher, you know, of like the suburban cities. And there was kind of and so they liked when some jerseys or sweatshirts were arrived by accident or something. And they were black and they said, well, let's just be the black shirt. We like that. And
I'm not positive. So, I do remember I read all the newspapers to find the first time they were called the black shirts. And and that's in that article. So if I send it to you, hopefully you can.
Sure. And speaking of black shirts, one of Waukesha's black shirt alumni, Mary Jane Sanchez, has come in with some more morning coffee.
Thank you.
So thank you. But excellent. Yeah.
Good morning.
So I don't get a coffee.
I just looked. So I gave one to
Jane. Oh, no, no. It's empty.
Here.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee.
All right. Thanks, John.
Sure.
So are you a tea drinker, John?
No.
Okay.
I have one diet soda a day. That's my
caffeine. There you go. All right. That's your caffeine intake. Very well. So terrific. Yeah. You know, I remember speaking of history, like as a high schooler in the 80s, in the late 70s, when all this stuff came out about caffeine.
Oh.
They had really, you know, sales had dropped. And so the industry started this commercial called Coffee Achievers. And you'd have like celebrities. Like I remember pro football quarterback Ken Anderson doing, you know, like, I don't know why I remember him above all the other, but I'm a coffee achiever. And that was the thing.
Oh, really? And I don't remember
that.
Yeah.
And because I remember the commercial, you know, Robert Young was Marcus Welby, MD.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a commercial where some guy's losing his temper. Like he's going off on his wife or something. And Robert Young, he's like, what's going on? He's like, it's the caffeine. Doctor says it's not good for me. You know, and
right.
that was their entree to introduce a decaf brand or something like that. But there was a big thing about it.
Oh, sure. And it just goes back and forth. Like, and
Probably like 7 or 8 years later, the kind of the coffee house thing had reemerged.
Right.
Like the coffee carts began. That Starbucks started as a coffee cart in Seattle, I believe.
Right. Okay.
And now it's like, and really just effective marketing that.
Right, it's quite a big industry.
Yeah, so I remember reading years ago, I used to get a newsletter from the gourmet food industry, the fancy food show, and it was a great newsletter because it had little blurbs, and if you wanted to learn more, you clicked on the link, and it said the average Starbucks customer back then would make 19 trips a month to the Starbucks to get their morning coffee, which if you do the math, is every workday in a given month when you take weekends.
Sure.
Right. So it's just amazing. But
yeah.
I love the independents. You know, Mary Jane goes, is it Mama D's? Did I get that right? Steaming Cup.
All right.
Great work. But you have Mama D's is the other one that you enjoy, right? So.
All right. Well, Steaming Cup has good food, too.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
When Pat Kreitlow came to visit, I wanted to bring him a little gift. And so I went there at 6:30 in the morning and brought over, what was it? It was a pastry. But okay. He thought it was great. That was like the greatest thing. And, you know, I thought it might have been one of these day olds from the day before. And, But it was a scone. That's what it was.
Okay.
And Pat was really taken by it. So I was glad. I was like, wow, that was, you know, I was just trying to make a little gesture. I wasn't sure he was going to eat the darn thing. But he's like, wow, this is really something. So
that was one of my favorite columns I wrote about bakeries in Waukesha.
Is that right?
Yeah. I visited all the bakeries around and got free samples. And
sounds great.
Everybody was good.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
My column?
When you worked on that piece, if you could guesstimate.
It was about 12 years ago.
Maybe. Okay.
12. Yeah, so it's been a while.
Sure,
has changed since then, too.
I bet.
Sure.
But that was around the time like these independent bakeries started to reemerge.
Right, yeah. Definitely.
Again, another portrait of my youth was that all these great, you know, back home we had these wonderful bakeries.
Yes.
And they all disappeared when the supermarkets started putting in their own bakeries.
Correct, yep. That's true in Cedarburg, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but now it's like a lot of people would, that's a last resort when you go to like a, Woodman's or Pickett's to get like a cake. You can get to one of these local guys.
Yeah.
To get your donut, especially your donuts.
Yeah. I think there was a bakery chain called Comer's that was really popular in Waukesha.
Wow.
They were one of the last to go out. But
was Entenmann's, was that one here too locally?
That was in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Okay. Remember there was one in Brookfield.
Right.
And it might have even been a sit down place too.
Moyer's.
So, was that
there
Moyer's?
There was a Moyer's Bakery.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But the Waukesha ones were Comer's. There was a few other ones, too, that were really very popular.
Okay. Neat. So.
And everybody talks about the buttercream frosting that you just can't. Can't get anything like that.
Yeah. That is.
Well, the Rochester and the Rochester Deli right now.
The Periwinkle Bakery.
Yeah. Great place.
Is that right? Okay. I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the one here right in downtown near Dave's kitchen? Mary Jane would know that has those amazing donuts.
The Donut Squad.
The Donut Squad. And they're usually sold out by like 6. If it opens at 6, it's sold out by 6:12 a.m. You know, like
they close.
Then they close. Yeah, because they can.
What was the one down on Main Street that was operated by the churches? Was that called the Donut Shop or something?
I remember going there and getting the bread.
Put the mic closer, Mary Jane.
With bolas, and then just having that in a paper bag and putting some butter on it, and it was awesome.
Right, yeah.
Cool.
Really good.
Yeah. You know, and I haven't had breakfast yet, so it's making me hungry. This is all good.
I did have a question for John.
Please.
John, we are Facebook friends.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, I recall that, first of all, there was a street in Waukesha here called Hartwell, and I understand, did you talk about that already?
No, but...
And that there is an actual heart-shaped well underneath the, it's closed up. I read it somewhere and saw it at one point in my lifetime.
I never connected the two, but I think Hartwell Street was named after Clark Hartwell, who he had he was a carpenter. They did a lot of the work, that kind of work. But there is a spring on Hartwell Avenue underneath the concrete barrier on the corner of Fulton and Hartwell. It was called Soterian Spring. I've been fortunate to be able to go down there a few times. It's on private property. The people that own that apartment building own the spring also. But every once in a while, they'll open it up. And the basin of the spring is there's a round spring basin, but then around that is a heart-shaped limestone structure.
Oh, wow.
So, thanks for clarifying that. I always thought that the two were associated because of the shape of the well.
Right. No, Hartwell Avenue was long before that spring, Soterian Spring.
Well, it's a fun rumor anyways.
Yeah. Well, it's good we can clear that up.
Yeah. So the conversation continues about Waukesha history. In fact, I'm going to ask John about a question about a horse. There was horse racing in Waukesha, as well as mark your calendars for July 9th. Tribute Tuesday has added Can't Stop the Feeling, Justin Timberlake tribute band coming. So much more here on this beautiful Saturday morning, March 2nd, This Week in Waukesha on the Civic Media app.
Once the moon was covering your eyes, all around the empty roundabout, I left the way house around. Where did I put my last few words to you whose blessed body may concern?
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A 100-mile stretch of Interstate 80 in the Sierra Nevada is closed this morning as a powerful blizzard brings dangerous conditions to the area. Ryan Ochoa with the Truckee Fire Protection District in California spoke about the dangerous conditions.
The wind can pick up kind of unannounced, and with the blowing snow that we're seeing, it can really make the roadway literally disappear in front of your eyes.
The largest wildfire in Texas history has wiped out hundreds of homes, cattle, and barns. This man volunteers with a group helping those who have lost so much.
We bring water, we bring hygiene kits, we bring the niceties of life. When you lose everything, everything becomes precious.
President Biden announced the U.S. will start airdropping food to Palestinians in Gaza, as well as pushing for other assistance.
We're going to insist that Israel facilitate more trucks and more routes the help they need.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks win again.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 113-97. Giannis with 46 points and 16 rebounds. The Bucks have now won 5 in a row. Chicago's Nikola Vukovic got frustrated and smacked Milwaukee's AJ Green in the face and was ejected from the game. Head coach Doc Rivers.
It was great. You know what? I just liked our defensive energy all game. I thought that's what changed the game. Thought we got into them. Game got a little chippy. But I thought it got chippy over just defensive pressure. Just as long as we keep our composure. That was the only thing I kept telling our guys. So, and then Giannis, you know, it's that thing we talked about, feeding the pig, meaning if you fall on a plate, it works. And we had the little angle action. Stay with it. You know, the one time they went away from, that's when I jumped up and said, why would you go away from something that just keep running it and keep running in something else? Then you do that.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and 58. Mostly clear, lows around 40 tonight. 67 and windy for your Sunday under mostly sunny skies. Chance of a shower Sunday night, a low near 47. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms Monday with highs in the low 60s.
Right now, 31 degrees.
The Todd Alma Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Sideways steals a stone to each among his very own. If you see me, look but walk away.
Waukesha, this beautiful Saturday morning, March 2nd, day two of Irish American History Month, and in honor of it, you're listening to the Drovers, a great Chicago band with Thanks for the Ring. I got to see them years ago at the Guinness Flaw, the same time I saw the late Sinead O'Connor and the late Shane McGowan were all at the same event at the old Arlington Racetrack, which is now going to be the new home of the Chicago Bears within the next couple of years.
Oh.
Yeah, and but speaking of racetracks, I had posed a question to John about... There was horse racing in Waukesha at one point.
Oh, definitely. In fact, one of the coolest photos in my stereo view book is of a horse race going on at the county fairgrounds, which was over near the environmental building, E.B. Schertz Environmental Building.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, around Bethesda Park. And that was where the one of the early county fairs was held. And there was a racetrack there.
Wow.
So it's really fun to see.
Okay.
And there were a lot of complaints in the papers about people, about the horse racing and people placing bets.
Sure, sure.
Yep. And during the Springs era, people would sometimes bring their horse race, their horses here, and there was a horse racing track. Again, the county fair moved, and and then there was also a racing track as part of the Fountain Spring Hotel. So, yeah, it was a popular sport and controversial.
The sport of kings.
Yes.
Yep. So. Very interesting. Yeah. So I mentioned when I was on the council, my colleague, Joe Piper, who's still the 4th District Alderman, he had given me a little tour of his district, and he had described an area, a residential area, that included two alleys with the two streets to make like kind of a round track. And it was his belief there was horse racing there, but it didn't impress me as being a really big enough right. venue. I could see horses tearing up some houses. Not a lot of room to run with there.
Right. I haven't heard of that.
So maybe there was some other type of, but then he showed me another area of Waukesha, near, you know, where Summit and Moreland meet, would be the northwest corner, where there is a trailer park that has a long history.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's still there. And it has a name, and that name is escaping me at the second.
You and me both.
Yeah. But again, there's some really cool negatives at the museum of some aerial photos of that. So everything around there is open. None of the buildings are there, but you can see that trailer park. And there were some pictures of how the people were living in there and showing the modern conveniences. Someone had a TV in the trailer park. So
sure. Oh, wow. That's
was
very
a big
neat.
Thing. Yeah. Right across the street was Zulu Village, which was early... it was a kind of like an amusement place.
Oh, really?
There was they had
like a petting zoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
By the brother of Dr. David Roberts, we did a whole issue of a local friend of mine, Marilyn Hagerstrand, wrote a whole history of the place. It was really kind of neat. And there was another spring up there in bottling plant, and they make bottling soda there, Supreme beverages up until the 1970s. You might remember those.
Really? Right? Yeah. Mary Jane would, I think.
Yeah. So that's kind of a neat area of town.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I never would have known that if I hadn't brought up how old is that, in your best knowledge, the trailer park?
That goes.
That community, I should say.
The 30s, probably.
Okay. Yeah. That would make sense during the Depression.
Yeah. It wasn't part of Waukesha at the time. I mean, it wasn't next
it was
to the city.
That incorporated or?
Right. And the area near there was called West Town. Mm. And that was developed as a kind of a private subdivision that later got
absorbed
into the city.
Okay. Neat. Hey, speaking of city news, the city's annual brush branch pickup will take place the week of April 1st through the 5th, weather permitting.
Your pickup will occur on the same day as your garbage pickup. Residents can start putting branches on the curb on March 18th. And when you place the branches out there, they should be on the terrace grass between the curb and the sidewalk and loose on the ground, not in boxes, bins, or other containers. So good to know. And another, you know, we mentioned some basketball earlier, even though the playoffs are over for Carroll and the other Waukesha schools. Boots and Badges, save the date. That will be on Friday, April 12th, and it's essentially the Waukesha Police and Fire Departments taking on the New Berlin Brookfield Police and Fire Departments on Friday, April 12th at Waukesha High School. The Milwaukee Dancing Grannies will be performing at halftime. So $5 is the admission. And I think that sounds like a lot of fun. And
it does.
I also want to shout out the fire department, too. And Mary Jane was there. She told me about the Melodies for Mary benefit last Saturday at Knuckleheads Pub in Eagle to raise funds for Mary Schrader and her family. Mary is battling leukemia. We had her dad and Lieutenant Dan Natling on the show a few weeks back. And I went over to the fire station yesterday to deliver my check. They're still waiting for Johnny's check, though. Just throwing that out there, Johnny. Only kidding. But Dan and Lieutenant Dan Natling had told me that they smashed their goal of $5,000, and he thinks even they haven't finished really? Counting yet. And you can still continue to support that worthwhile charity for a wonderful young girl and her family, a Waukesha firefighter, Mark Schrader. And so, yeah, to learn more, you can get a hold of me or just head on over to the fire department. And anyway, so I was just really pleased to see that. And I looked at I couldn't make it because it was my brother-in-law's 40th birthday, and you can't miss those things. But I was able to contribute. Mary Jane was able to make it because her brand, Wisco Mary, donated a gift basket. And from what I saw on the social media pics, it was packed. And Lieutenant Dan confirmed it. So,
which standing room only.
Doesn't surprise me knowing the generosity and the charity of our firefighters.
It was a really amazing event, and Mary was actually there. She was on the shoulders of her father as they walked around over the top of the crowd. As I mentioned, standing room only. Our mayor, Sean Riley, was there with his brother, Kevin, and a number of other Waukesha people. It was a spectacular event. And we did donate a package of a Green Bay Packer package.
Yes,
and then also a Leroy Butler signed bottle.
There you go. Great. Thank you for that. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
And that was at the Eagle?
Eagle at Knuckleheads.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bar in Eagle called Knuckleheads. But
right.
I know the Eagles Club here in Grandview had an event the next day. It was a winter blues concert to raise funds for the Rotary Club's Waukesha County Blues Fest coming up in August. So
there's so many good groups.
Yeah. So much going on. Yeah. And we talked a little bit about music history. You'd done your a little bit on Les Paul, but there was some other aspects of our music history too that you may be able to touch on. I know for sure with the band, like North is a dynasty in marching bands.
Right, marching band tradition here. Yeah. I was actually assistant director and on the board of the Pioneer Drum and Bugle Corps from Milwaukee.
Neat.
I was in the corps.
Okay.
Before it was Pioneer, but it's really fun to see the marching bands in the area take on the aspects of the drum and bugle corps, the more showmanship aspects of the sport and the activity.
Sure.
So,
hey, I want to stay in Waukesha North for two more points. One, before I forget, I want to wish the Waukesha North women girls bowling team, who's competing in state competition up in Ashwaubenon this weekend, best of luck to them. And to my niece, Sarah Orlowski, who's a member of the team, the big Orlowski, like Big Lebowski. This aggression will not stand, girls. But seriously, good luck to the North Stars. And then North Star sports history, John, you'd mentioned that you'd also did some chronicling for them, like photographer and video for the football team.
I took game films from
sure.
I think it was 78 to about 10 or 13 years. So I went through the first year we did actual film, 16mm film, and then we switched to videotape.
Wow.
And so I was one of the first videographers. So every Friday night when I wasn't at the library, I would be filming the football games.
Wow, that's neat.
And that was quite an experience.
And one of those stars was my fellow Spartan and class of 89 classmate at Michigan State, Kurt Larson.
Right,
And he was a student of yours in middle school at Butler?
Yeah, definitely. He and his brother, Steve, and I think they had a sister also. But Kurt was a good student. And he was even then was kind of a leader of that class.
Neat.
I think that that team, that football team, went to state when they first started having state, and they played in Madison.
Sure.
I remember Kurt asked Tim Paulson, the coach, about the goalposts because he was the kicker.
Yeah.
And he said, are those the same? And they weren't. But Tim didn't.
Right.
He said, no, those are the same as you did your kicking in high school. But
sure.
They were actually not, they're more narrow than the high school ones. So.
Oh, wow.
I think he kicked some extra points and did
so
well.
So that was his story. You know, he actually went to Michigan State for basketball, and then he decided to go out for kicker because he kicked in addition.
Right.
To being,
yeah.
And so he chose number 3, a kicker's number, but he was very fast. And the head coach of Michigan State, George Perlis, who was one of the architects of the Steel Curtain defense in that 4-3 stunt, Larson was a perfect part for that plan because it was essentially 7 linebackers on the line. They were doing stunting. They were just quicker and faster than a lot of their opponents. And so Kurt ended up starting as an outside linebacker.
Right.
Or DN for some formations. And made all Big Ten, and that was arguably one of the greatest defenses in Big Ten history. They won the Big Ten in 87, which was Kurt's junior year, and then the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day 88 was like one of the first Big Ten teams to do that. But from Waukesha North,
yeah,
you know, and there were probably a few other great like student athletes that were part of that collection that you chronicled.
Yeah, and I'm blanking out.
That's all right. No. You got a lot going.
I mean,
I
was more interested in their art careers than their sports careers at the time. But yeah,
sure.
Dale Harper was another basketball player that I remember did really well.
Sure. Do you do much with the veterans in terms of chronicling like Waukesha history at all? Have you been asked to help with that? I know they definitely have a lot of support and.
Army veterans?
U.S. Yeah, veterans. Army veterans, yeah.
Mostly we do some work through the museum.
Okay.
We did have a World War II display at one time, and we did verbal interviews.
Okay.
We're doing that now with the dairy farmers, but yeah.
Nice.
Right. We actually were involved when the Vietnam War Memorial came here.
Oh, that was great. I volunteered for that.
Dan Karstens and my friend, we researched every one of those. And we gave that information for the booklet that was published.
I took a lot of pleasure in being a part of that.
Yeah.
Even though the weather was terrible in the first couple of days.
Yeah.
I was drenched, but it was I was really proud to be a part of that.
Right.
And that to me, that moving wall memorial is more meaningful than the actual one in DC because it comes right to your hometown. It honors local sons and daughters who were killed in the Vietnam War. So
and each of those stories was just special to look up.
But really quick, I thought of you because Tim Nekich was a guest on my show, former alderman, and very active with the VFW and Vietnam War history. And he had mentioned, he was active with the local Democrats. And when Al Gore came to town, when he was running for president, he saw Tim and his wife and he recognized him. And he remembered the names, but he thought Tim was a dairy farmer. And he had this great, Tim just had a condo. And the mayor at the time might have been Carol Lombardi. Said to him, he said, I'm going to send the tax assessor over to your condo tomorrow to check out the dairy farming that's going on. So
I had Tim Nekich's kids at Butler, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. So, yeah, but we want to, as we get closer to Memorial Day, we definitely want to have Tim back on the show.
Right. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he sure is.
Now he's real active with St. Mark's, I believe.
Really?
Mark's Church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good guy.
So did you know Tim at all? Do you know Tim at all, Mary Jane?
I may. Sometimes I have to go to my Facebook friends and see if I know somebody.
So he reached out to me on Facebook, and I encourage anybody that has a story about Waukesha to tell to reach out to me on Facebook or any way you can get a hold of me if you've got a story to tell, because this is your show. This is about Waukesha. And so, again, it's why we're going to have you back, John, again, because
sure.
I know there's so much we could cover here Waukesha's history.
Yeah.
And so I think I was going to ask, like, what aspects of Waukesha that you feel haven't been unearthed yet that you'd like to be a part of or see more of?
Well, there's two things that we just had this question at the museum.
Okay.
One is everybody thinks about the Springs era as all these people, rich people coming up here,
right.
Staying. But what about the local people? And
right.
What did those businesses provide to our local economy when they had to have they had to people take clean the rooms, maids, people in the restaurants. So I'd like to do some research on that. I think we're going to do that. And also African-American history in Waukesha itself. There's not a lot.
Cool.
So I think that's another place to look.
So much more social history to uncover here and Waukesha history in general with John Shane Connect here and This Week in Waukesha.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Shaw at 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Shaw, WAUK.
1 FM, WAUK.
The Shaw, WAUK.
1 FM, WAUK.
The Shaw, WAUK. 1 FM, WAUK.
I saw he was down at the Greeks. There was whiskey and sunburn and tears in her cheeks. He sang me a song that was pure as the breeze on a road leading up Glenavy. I sat for a while at the crescent finner where young lovers would meet when the flowers were in bloom. Heard the men coming from the fire at Chiron, their hearts in Tipperary, wherever they go. Take time and dry your tears, babe. Take my hand. Forget your friends, babe. There's no pain, there's no more sorrow. They're all gone, gone in the years, babe.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha with Downtown Donnie Brown and my special guest, John Shane Connect, one of our foremost historians of Waukesha. And Mary Jane Sanchez has also joined us. Local
Hello.
Business owner and long time Waukesha. I'm coming up with these new names I speak. We were talking about the wonderful show we have now from 6 to 7 called Busted Pencils. And a pre-recorded show I did last week with Tyree Pope, comic genius. I kept saying Busted Pencils, like principal. The guys combined. So, but I think that's a new word. I think I'm going to try to copyright that one. Pencils.
There you go.
Sense,
but, trademark it.
But long time, I don't know. That's, yeah, what the. But anyway, we're glad you're both here. And we were talking about the need to unearth more social history in Waukesha. John, you were mentioning that, that we needed people to, you know, you talk about the springs there. We need people to clean the rooms and to
right.
take care of the horses. And
exactly. It affected the local economy. We also, these big hotels, there's one with a golf course, an early golf course, so they needed groundskeepers.
Okay.
So I'd like to, in fact, we're having a big event on April 18th at the museum to raise money to expand the Springs exhibit.
Okay.
And that's one of the aspects that I think we'd like
the
to
social
include.
History. Sure, yeah, sure.
Right. What it meant yep. to the economy. We have a little yeah. bit of that now in our current exhibit, but yep. I think that would be fun to see.
Sure, sure.
Maybe just going through the census records and seeing who worked at a soda water company or who did
yeah,
what.
Yeah, yeah. So. And, you know, you mentioned that we need more African-American history in Waukesha. We need more Irish-American history and a lot of these other groups.
And Hispanic.
Hispanic, of course.
Definitely,
so,
yeah.
And right. And Hispanic and Irish, like the Sanchez family, right, Mary Jane?
Correct,
got
correct.
Yep. So a descendant of San Patricios.
The yeah. Hispanic history has been somewhat explored. I mean, there's several books yeah. about Hispanics in Waukesha. And some,
correct. I was supposed to be in it, but they wanted people that were all the way back to the 40s, and we right. were... Yeah. From Milwaukee in the 40s.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. But again, yeah, there's a lot to be learned about that.
Sure.
And the families were kind of interrelated, weren't they, or related somewhat?
Yes, ours not. But just real quick point about what Don is referring to is we are Mexican-Irish because Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, California, we're all Mexico. And so that's where my family region is. But the Irishmen were the front linesmen for the U.S. armies and were, defected and then went over to the Mexican.
Like that scene in Braveheart, where the Irish leave the English and fight with the Scots.
Oh, right, yeah.
They were Irish members of the Union Army that when they realized they were going after another Catholic country, a poor Catholic country, that they thought it was hypocritical given their own experiences back in Ireland. And so they traded sides. They were eventually arrested and tried for treason and executed. But in Mexico, they're still celebrated. I think there's some monuments there.
Wow.
Right. And, so I'm Irish-Mexican.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Great material for a movie, I think, too. Right. There was one done years ago, I think, during the 70s that, you know, it was like a movie for television or something like that. But
or a story for our Landmark magazine.
Yeah.
There you go. Talking about stories, the Legend of Zorro was actually based on William Lamport, who was 100% Irish.
That's right.
Who fought in that war.
Love it.
Wow.
I love it. So, but during the first Waukesha Unlocked, I went over to La Casa, and I mentioned this on my show last week. And in the tour, there's a gallery in the basement with a painting of Cesar Chavez, who was organizing a labor strike in Wautoma.
Oh.
And I was like, that picture belongs in a bag. That should eventually find its way to the historic museum, if not maybe enshrined at La Casa. But talk about great social history.
Rather than being in the basement. Displayed somewhere more prominent.
Exactly. So, but that was really, but that's the great thing about Waukesha Unlocked. And again, they're accepting applications, April 1st deadline, that, you know, every one of these buildings, these businesses, these families have a story. And if you have a story to tell, definitely reach out to the Parks Department and get that in. I know WAUK will be participating.
Great. I'm on the committee. So we just met Thursday.
Wonderful.
Good. All right.
We do have a lot of new businesses year. And Park Rex is amazing. They have lots of cool activities for kids and things. And so, and there are a lot of new places.
That's one of my heroes of history is Studs Terkel, the great social historian. And I got to see him at an event in his honor at Steppenwolf.
Wow.
Were different. John Mahoney, they read excerpts from his books and just like that whole idea of like there. I think there's real opportunities for great social history of Waukesha, especially when you consider the generations of people, families that continue to live here and call Waukesha home.
Right. Definitely.
So John, I regret to say we're running low on time. What is it you want people to know about the museum and historical society and your own work that we haven't covered yet in the show?
Well, I think that this upcoming event on April 18th, a fundraiser for the New Springs exhibit will be a lot of fun. It's on a Thursday evening, and people can dress up in Springs era costumes.
Good. Hey, but we actually have a phone call here. Is it Greg? Triple G?
Hello.
Hey, Greg.
Hi.
Yes. Hey, just real quick, I will not keep you guys with the amount of time that you have, but I was actually a columnist with the Freeman when John Kinnick was a columnist. And but I just wanted to say one of the valuable pieces of history is Carroll University. And, Don, I was at the Carroll game last night.
You know, I saw it on video. Really, my apologies.
Yeah, it was really good. It was awesome to see people pack the Van Mail Field House. And, you know, Carroll's got a lot of history to it, too. But it was a tenuous game, but it wasn't as it got closer to the end. It wasn't
as
close as it seemed. But the Pioneers fought hard. But, John, good to talk to someone who I was a columnist for a number of years at the Waukesha Freeman.
All right. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for the call here. We're down to our final minute. Any last remarks here, John Chain Connect?
Just thank you for having me on today.
Thanks. And we gotta have you on again.
I just like sitting down and talking about Waukesha history and hope people will support our museum. It's keeper of our history for more than 100 years. And, appreciate it.
John Shane Connect, the doctor of Waukesha history. Thanks again for joining us this week in Waukesha. My guests next week are contenders for the school board, Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidler.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Friday, best of the week, trending education news.
Busted pencils every weekday at 7 p.m.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Upside.
I'm Wendy Gillette, the most powerful.